If you have your Bibles, you want to turn with me, please, to John, the first chapter, beginning with the 35th verse. And before I begin, I want to announce again that next week during the service, we will begin our morning worship service at 11:10 instead of 11 o'clock, because we're going to have a friend reception, and we hope that all of you are down in the fellowship hall with us, with your friends, if you're here. So we want to meet the staff, and we have a gift for those that are coming as first-time guests, and so we want you to be included in that. We want to have it before, because after the service, we know that people will want to go to lunch. But as we start today, I want to just mention one thing, sharing the light of God's love with our community. How many of you know what that phrase means and how it relates to our church? Anyone? Most of you do. This has been Cherry Point Baptist Church's mission for several years. It's also our task as Christians, sharing God's love with others. We do that in so many ways here, and I don't think everyone who is a member of Cherry Point Baptist Church is involved yet, but certainly we have many that are involved in sharing the light of God's love with our community. If you don't believe it, just look on our website or look at our newsletter and see how busy this church is in our community and reaching others. We use several ministries to share the light of God's love. In addition, we designate certain days or certain Sundays to emphasize our need to personally invite people to come to our church. Next week is such a Sunday. It's Friends Sunday, and this is an opportunity for everyone to be involved, every person that comes, every church member. Even if you're not going to be here for some reason, invite someone to be here and let them know who they connect with when they get here, and someone will meet them and be their friend for that day. I met with the hospitality committee, and we decided to have a reception to meet the staff and deacons after the first service next week, and then to have another one after Sunday school and just before the 11 o'clock worship. So we have planned, as I said before, to start the service a few minutes later than we normally do, and we'll have a gift for all first-time guests. This week, though, I want us to discuss how we can follow the example of a beloved disciple in taking a walk across the street. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. John 1, verses 35 through 42. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. That's John the Baptist. And he looked upon Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following and said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." They came therefore and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." He brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day he purposed to go forth into Galilee, and he found Philip and Jesus and said to them, "Follow me." May God have his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. We find that as we talk about Andrew, Andrew is a man's man. In fact, his name has the connotation of being manly. He's a fisherman. He's an outdoorsman, a common laborer. And Andrew is a quiet kind of guy. We don't read much about him in the New Testament. He's only mentioned 12 times in the Bible, and four of these are when they list the other 11 disciples. Even the traditions of the early church, he's one of the few disciples about whom there are very few legends. However, this does not mean that Andrew is unimportant. The times he is mentioned in the Gospels, he's usually doing something very important. He's bringing people to Jesus. Now, in our text in John 1, we find Andrew, who walks across the street to bring his brother Peter to Jesus. How does he do this? How is that relatively quiet man able to bring people to Jesus? We find that back in 2002, the Lilly Endowment sponsored a survey that involved interviews with 30,000 worshipers in 2,200 churches representing eight denominations. And they found that 78% of the churchgoers reported they came to church the first time because someone invited them. Now, you know, last week and weeks previous, I've given this statistic several times from other studies. This is just one more study. We find in this particular study, though, yet 54% of those surveyed said they had not invited anyone to church in the past year. Apparently, more than half the church attenders just don't invite people to come to church. So why would Andrew do this while many people don't? Well, part of the reason was that Andrew believed that Jesus was worth knowing. It begins with a sincere belief that our experience with Christ will help our family, our friends, and even the sincere belief that it'll even improve our community if enough people are touched. The greater the influence, the greater the change. You see, John chapter 1 tells us that Andrew was one of the followers of John the Baptist. And one day John saw Jesus and pointed him out to Andrew, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And Andrew took John seriously, and he left John with John's blessing and began to follow Jesus. And we see the very first thing that Andrew did after meeting with Jesus, he went across the street and brought his brother Peter. We might ask why. Well, Jesus was the Lamb of God everybody had been waiting for. He was the Messiah that had been promised. He was the one sent by God to change the lives of his people. And Andrew loved his brother too much to have him miss out on this great introduction. I think as the pastor of this church, I'm glad I can say with confidence that our regular church attenders view coming to church as something more than a religious experience. I'm also pretty confident saying that our regular attendees see coming to church as part of their spiritual journey. And even though we may not all be at the same place in that journey, I teach and preach that coming to church to study, to worship, and serve is a joyful responsibility, because we have realized that as a community of faith, we are being made stronger. We are presenting a witness to our community, and we are serving God through our kingdom building efforts. And we have stuff going on in our lives that is unpleasant, that is hard to manage. Church can even be a city of refuge. And I think that's pretty exciting when you get into it. I look forward to Sundays and know you do as well. And I pray that I have, over time, conveyed the eternal significance of what we are doing here at Cherry Point Baptist Church. You know the scriptures where Jesus says in John 6:35, he says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty." And in John 11:25, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even though he dies." We know these scriptures and the powerful blessings we have as Christians. And as well as being scriptures, they are powerful values and truths that we should want to share with others who need a relationship with a Savior. We also know that famous scripture in John 14:6 that says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And John 3:36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." And you know, the people that we know and love don't know what they don't know unless we walk across the street and share it with them in word and in deed. I want you to think back just a minute. Aren't you glad that someone invited you to come to church for the first time? Aren't you glad when you see someone that you invite come to church? And aren't you just ecstatic when you see someone come to church that you have invited and they begin this relationship, this vital relationship with a living Savior, that they get excited about their faith? You see, Andrew felt an urgency to share Christ with Peter, his brother. Andrew believed that Jesus was worth knowing. And that's the primary reason you and I should be inviting friends and family to come to church. The second reason Andrew brought his brother and others to see Jesus is because this man didn't know any better. He didn't know that you were supposed to have a Bible college degree before you told anybody about Jesus. He didn't know that you were supposed to be theologically educated. He didn't understand that he was supposed to construct some complicated theological argument that would overwhelm people and bring them to their knees. He didn't even realize that he needed to be a leader in the church to be able to witness. You see, he had a relationship he wanted others to have. When Andrew approached his brother, he didn't get tied up in theological jargon. He simply said, "We have found the Messiah." And then he takes Peter to Jesus. You know, it's sort of like that little boy that moved from the farm into a sprawling suburban neighborhood with houses everywhere. He got up one morning in his new surroundings so excited, his mother said, "I'm going to put your clothes on, and you go out and play and leave me alone." So he got his clothes on, he went outside, and just a few minutes later, about 20 minutes, he was back at the house, even more excited. He said, "Mother, every house around here has a doorbell, and it works." You see, he was so excited about his new environment. He was so excited about the people that he'd met or the people that he bothered. He couldn't help but come back home and tell his mother. You see, Peter was not aware that he was not capable theologically. He was not aware that he didn't have the leadership skills that he needed. He just knew that he had this Messiah in his heart and his brother needed to know him. It was too good to keep. And as a result, he changed his brother's life forever. The third thing is to notice about Andrew was he invited people to come to Jesus at different times and for different reasons. For example, in John 6, we see that Andrew brings a young boy to Jesus. The crowd is hungry, and this boy seems to be the only person that has any food. It seems silly to bring a boy with a mere sack lunch to Jesus, but it wasn't bringing a little boy with his meager contribution to Jesus, but it was also how it affected a whole crowd of people who were fed and able to listen to the message of the Messiah. For they all saw the power of Christ. So Andrew brought a young boy to Jesus in John 6. A little later on, we see in John 12, 20 and 21, that Andrew and Philip bring people who are interested in Christ. There are these Greeks who say, "We would like to see Jesus." And so Andrew and Philip bring them for an intimate meeting with Christ. You see, we have the same opportunity each week to invite people to Cherry Point Baptist Church in hopes that they will begin an eternal relationship with Christ. We pray that they might have an intimate meeting with Christ through the wooing of the Holy Spirit. And of course, in our text today, we see Andrew inviting his brother to see Jesus. And how does he do it? Well, he tells his brother he has great news. There's something special going on. Come and see the Messiah. I've talked to him. As I said in the beginning, at CBBC, we have something going on most of the year. And you have an opportunity to invite people weekly to Bible study in small groups, family night meals. We have activities for all ages throughout the year. And more importantly, we are a friendly church. And people in our community are looking for encouragement and affirmation from us, the church. And next week, we have a great way and a great time for you to invite your family and friends to church. It's Friends Sunday. It's not too late to walk across the street. For you see, we still have invitation cards to hand out. And if you've not taken some to hand out, please do so. It is not too late. I hope that you have been praying with me for weeks about the people that I am inviting to Friends Sunday. And this week, my friends, is the Just Do It week. Take that step of faith and allow the Holy Spirit to use you. It's a powerful thing in our lives when we can understand that in obedience to Him, in faith, even though we know we're not capable, we don't have all the articulate words we need, we may not have the theological understanding, but I will tell you what we do have. We have an experience with the Christ that we can share with people about how it has changed us and what it means to us and how the church has helped me in my spiritual growth, how to mold me, the Sunday school teachers that teach me, the family discussions that we have and the family meals that we have, that fellowship that we are bound together as a family of God, and we become stronger in our faith. And if we can just understand like Andrew, who was willing to be used by God to walk across the street. I am confident that God will use you. You see, one of the statistics that I came across in preparing this sermon was one that I thought was very important. It says that only 3% of the people will find a church on their own. That they'll just find a church and go to it. We will never fulfill the Great Commission by building great buildings or relying on flashy programs. For you see, if cathedrals would win the world, Europe would have won it long ago. If impressive programs could win the world, Southern Baptists would have done it long ago. You see, it's really about relationships that bring people into a saving relationship with Jesus. So like we must walk across the street and invite people. And Jesus is also our example in this. You remember, he went where the thirsty individuals were. For he met Peter at the docks. He met the Samaritan woman at the well. He met Matthew at his tax office and scores of others while they were in the process of their daily pursuits. Jesus went to the people. Andrew followed Jesus' example as he went to the people in the communities where he traveled. I would simply ask, can't we? I hear the Lord telling us to go thou and do likewise. And the question this morning is, will you walk across the street? Will you invite someone to your church? Would you humble yourself just enough to allow the Holy Spirit to use you? You see, the Bible tells us and statistics tell us in the modern day. It's simple. There's still someone waiting for you to ask them to come to church. Your schedules are busy. Your work is overpowering. Your family obligations are almost too much. And there aren't enough hours in the day sometimes. But I'll tell you, I'm so thankful that the person that invited me to church took time out to walk across the street and let me know about the Messiah. The question is today is, will you do it? Will you do it? Will you allow the Holy Spirit to humble you and to use you to tell people the Messiah has come. He is here. The Lord of life. The Savior of the world. It's such good news, I can't keep it. Let's stand together. As we stand, we're going to sing our hymn of invitation, I Lay My Sins on Jesus, number 593. I wonder today as we close this service, there may be someone here today that doesn't know the Messiah. And you came here by someone's invitation or by chance you've come here today. And I want to tell you that Jesus the Christ wants to be the Lord of your life. And it's so simple to do. You just simply ask him to come into your life. You just come down as we sing this hymn of invitation and I'll take you by the hand and gladly show you how. You're here this morning, you're not a member of a kingdom building church. You think you can be a church alone or just attend. Well, I'll tell you, the excitement comes when you get involved. And you get involved by joining our church. You can come and join by transfer of letter, join by profession of faith, join by statement of faith if you've been baptized by immersion. We invite you to come and join us as we get excited more and more about what Jesus is doing in our lives and in our church. And if you're here today and you have another prayer request, you have something going on, please come this morning. Maybe you have a friend that you'd like to pray for this morning. Come and I'll pray with you about that friend because someone's waiting for your invitation. Let's sing that great song, number 593, and you come as God leads you.